Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this very last Sabbath of the calendar year of 2024, December 28. Quite amazing, we've made it through another year. What has our record been? What will this new year hold in store? New president coming in at the end of January. It'll be very interesting what this year holds. A year closer to the coming of our Savior. Are we ready? So welcome, dear ones. Also welcome to those that are joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording. I'm glad to have you in fellowship with us today. Have one announcement before we get into our service. The one announcement is that this next Sabbath, which will be January the 4th, we're going to be holding foot washing and communion. It's going to be a bilingual service, Spanish and English. So please come prepared for that. Our dear brothers Garay and Brother Jorge and Santiago will be leading out in the service, and I know it will be a wonderful service, very enlightening, that God is moving upon their hearts to share. So that's this next Sabbath, the very first Sabbath in the new year, and what a better way than to open it with foot washing and communion. So praise God for bringing us safely through another year. And He's in control of whatever happens in the next year. We just need to hide self in Christ. So that's the one announcement. And our opening song is titled, Are You Washed in the Blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Kind of the ultimate question, isn't it? Have all your sins been forgiven? Are you cleansed from these sins? Are you standing in the righteousness of Christ? Are you ready for his return? Amen. Yeah, washed, covered, converted is our prayer. So that's the ultimate question, dear ones. And we're going to be investigating into this very question today. Before we get into our sermon, please join with me for opening prayer. Father, thank you so very much for the many and wonderful blessings, the divine protection, the overruling providence in our lives, the answered prayers throughout this past year. We're so grateful that you have an interest in our lives, that you have an interest in our welfare, and are working for our salvation. We want the light, the love, the joy, the compassion, the tenderness that surrounds you and your throne to be brought down to each one of us. And we thank you, Father, for being here. We also pray for Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests around each listening heart. Savior, please dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. And please, dear Spirit, be our teacher, our guide, our instructor in righteousness and truth. Help us to spot the spiritual insights into the inspired text that we'll be examining today. Please help our hearts to be open to understand, our minds to be receptive, retentive, and let our memory be sharpened, that we may be able to recall what we have read and heard and learned today, that it will not be lost. And we thank you, dear Savior, for coming soon, and help us to get ourselves ready. And Father, we pray that you'll raise up more laborers and send them into thy great harvest field, for it is white. And please bless and multiply the evangelistic efforts put forth, that many more precious souls will escape from Babylon and become connected with Jesus and his kingdom of righteousness. And thank you that Babylon is being emptied and your kingdom is swelling. So we thank you for hearing and answering these prayers and for being with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon for today is titled, Are You Ready? And that's the ultimate question. Are you ready? And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID2024.htm. So lightministries.com/ID2024.htm. And if you look at our opening text, it is taken from Matthew 24:44. Very familiar text to many people. It's at quote number one. It says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So this reveals to us that we're not going to know the hour, the day, the month, or the year in which the return of Christ is going to occur. And that means we have to be ready every hour, every day, every month, every year for Christ to come. We can't take it for granted that he won't come a month from now or a year from now. We have to be ready now. And so this serious question needs to be asked by each one of us, of ourselves. Are we ready? Now, if you look at quote number two, when we look around the world, we see that there's sudden and intense catastrophes that are occurring one after another. Anywhere from hurricanes, typhoons, cyclones, tornadoes, and other windy storms that bring rain, floods, ice, hail, and snow. We also see that there's droughts, famines, fires, earthquakes, and volcanoes that are escalating on a never-before-seen scale. There's wars, conflicts, violent crimes, unexpected accidents by sea, land, and air. And all of these are multiplying the amount of people who die from all these catastrophes. And what do all these things loudly proclaim to every one of us? It shows us that the crisis is upon us, and our God is coming soon. So again, the question, are you ready? When we look at the political field, we see that 11 nations of Europe share a common currency. They declare that the national border in Europe is over between these 11 states. People are calling this the United States of Europe. Newspapers are proclaiming that for the first time since the Roman Empire, a large portion of Europe now shares a common currency. What do these political things loudly proclaim to every one of us? That the crisis is here and our God is coming soon. Are you ready? In the religious area, the Catholic Church has been strengthening its office of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Sounds kind of innocent, doesn't it? But the office of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith was known centuries ago as the office of the Congregation, or the office of the Sacred Inquisition. So the Sacred Inquisition of the Dark Ages did not die when the Catholic Church received its deadly wound. It's alive today, and it's being strengthened in its authority and power by the Catholic Church. It's just given a different name. What does this loudly proclaim to every one of us? The crisis is here. Our God is coming soon. Are you ready? In the justice area, an international criminal court has been set up in Rome, Italy. There has also been established an international court of justice, also called the World Court. There's been various international treaties, such as the Genocide Treaty, that has been endorsed by almost every nation of the world, including the United States of America. The House of Representatives has passed legislation, specifically H.R. 2431, that sets up an office that monitors every religion in America, and it's able to punish individuals, including nations, who deviate from accepted religious belief and practice. Did you know that? And of course, accepted religious belief and practice is going to be the majority, not the minority. So what do all these courts, these treaties, and other national and international laws mean to individuals who believe and preach the present truth? It shows us that the use of civil power on a worldwide basis is going to be used to force or coerce God's people from practicing the truth of the Bible and from preaching the three angels' messages. What do these things even louder proclaim to each one of us? That the crisis is upon us, and our God is soon to come. Are we ready? But many individuals have been lulled into a fatal security that there will be peace and prosperity for many, many years. And so little or no notice at all is being given to the signs of our Lord's return being near. And I fear that multitudes of God's followers are not ready for the fearful, trying scenes just before us. And they're not ready to remain pure amid the perils and corruptions of the last days. They're not ready to stand for their faith, come what may. And I fear that many among our remnant people are in this unreadied state. But dear ones, ready or not, the crisis is going to occur. You look at quote number 3. So we don't need to look any further into the future for the time of crisis, because it's already begun. So ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, the crisis is here. So we cannot put off till tomorrow what we're able to do in getting prepared today. because tomorrow may not come for us. Our life may end later today. We may not wake up for tomorrow. So what we can do in getting prepared today, we need to do. In Hebrews 3:15, quote number 3, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So then how many of us are ready for our judgment to come up in review before God? How many would be saved if your probation closed today? How many are prepared for the winds of strife to be let loose all over the world? How many are ready for the time of trouble that has never yet occurred since there has been a nation? Are you ready for God to change the way he deals with this world of iniquity and begin allowing more of his judgments to fall upon the wicked? So if there's a time to get ready, it's now, dear ones. It's time to prepare to meet thy God, which we're told in Amos 4:12. And it's only been out of the infinite mercy and compassion of our Father that many of us still have time to get ready. But how are we to do this? How are we to get ready? What can we do to be ready for the greater crises ahead, and especially for Jesus to come? That's what we're going to be exploring in this sermon. If you look at quote number 4, we're told in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this verse reveals to us that we must place God and his kingdom first and foremost in our thoughts and practices, and everything else secondary to this. And if we put God first and everything else secondary, then we will be able to become clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we'll be able to live in accordance with God's will, and thus we'll be ready to meet him when he comes. We're also told in Matthew 4, verse 4, if you look at quote number 5, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this verse shows us that if we conform our lives to follow every word of God, then we will be transformed in life to represent God in character. And so then we will be ready to meet God when he comes. Now notice it says we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not out of the mouth of the minister, not out of the mouth of the pope, not out of the mouth of the priest, not out of the mouth of the elders, not out of the mouth of the church, not out of the mouth of the state, but out of the mouth of God. It's the only way that we'll be prepared to meet him when he comes. We're told in James 4, verses 7 to 8, if you look at quote number 6. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We're told in Romans 6, verses 12 to 14 and 17 to 18. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, in other words, your bodies, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So it is possible to be free from sin, free from sinning, because sin will not have dominion over you. If you yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness, yielding yourselves to God. We're also told in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 57 to 8. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So all these verses show us that when the devil tempts you to sin, that if you yield and submit yourself to God and resist that temptation, then you would be drawing closer to God. God would be drawing closer to you. And the devil then has to flee from you, which means the power of the temptation would be broken and you would not fall into sin but gain the victory through Jesus. And if you remain the servants of God, if you remain steadfast and immovable in following the truth and working the will of God in your life, then you would become cleansed, purified, free from sin, and thus you would be ready for salvation and eternal life when Christ comes again. Now, this process of overcoming temptation and becoming purified is a lot easier to say than it is to do it. So then how do we accomplish this growing in grace? How do we become perfect in Christ Jesus in this world of sin? God tells us how. If you look at quote number 7. From 2 Peter 1, verses 4 to 9 and 10 to 11. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So it all starts with faith. You're to add on to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly or sisterly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So these inspired passages show us that God has given you and me precious promises of His divine power that's found in the Scriptures. And these promises and divine power will enable us to escape the corruption that is in the world. And if we do this, we will be growing in grace, advancing one step at a time, adding virtue to faith, knowledge to virtue, temperance, etc. One step at a time until we are ready for the coming of Christ and entering into the kingdom of God. So all of these inspired words of God reveal to us that we need to get ourselves ready for our Lord's soon return, which means we need to pray earnestly. We need to exercise strong, persevering faith in disciplining ourselves to live by every word and command of God, that we might exhibit the character of Christ in our own lives. It's possible, dear ones. It's step by step advancement upward. And this step by step process needs a varying amount of time in order to accomplish it, depending on each individual. Some may go tremendously fast. Others may go tremendously slow. But advancement is the key. And no one can achieve this perfection in Christ overnight. And no one can jump ahead and skip any of the steps in their spiritual growth. A fitness for heaven is accomplished one advancing step at a time. But if you don't start now, but wait until tomorrow or the next day or the next week to begin in earnest to make your calling and election sure, then you may not be fully prepared when the crisis hits you. And your lack of experience necessary to successfully make it through will show a failure. You're unprepared. God gave you the time to get prepared, but you didn't utilize that probationary time to the best advantage. And so then you're unprepared, and Jesus, along with eternal life, will be forever lost to you. And how horrible is that, dear ones? You look at quote number 8. From Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Why weren't they saved? Because they weren't harvested out of the field. Why weren't they harvested out of the field? Because they chose to remain in the field until the harvest time was over. In Revelation 22, verses 10 to 12. The time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I, or Christ, is talking here. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his or her work shall be. So the coming of our Savior is quick. He is indeed coming. Sooner than we think. Which means we need to get prepared now rather than later. Now, if you look at quote number 9. Dear ones, I pray that each of us will realize that salvation is far from the wicked. And the wicked are those who do not perform God's will, they do not keep his commandments, and they continue to live in sin. So the wicked aren't going to be saved unless they change. So if we don't want to be lost along with the wicked, then we need to make sure that we prepare ourselves now for Jesus to come, so that his coming does not overtake us or catch any of us unready like a thief in the night and we be lost. But let us instead be children of the day, not of the night, not of darkness, but children of the day. Let us be among those who confess and forsake their sins, those who walk in the light of Christ, those who fear God and keep his commandments, those who hold fast to Christ and repent of their sins. May we be among those who are diligent to make our calling and election sure. May we know that God will not allow any of his people to suffer above that ye are able to bear, but will make a way of escape. May we be among those who realize that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and that it is only through patiently enduring these fiery darts and this fiery trial and the persecution and suffering that our faith or gold is being tried in this fire. Purified. And if we show ourselves true, if we stand fast in the faith, if we remain faithful to the end, if we cross the finish line, then we will obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ and will live together with him forever in his kingdom of heaven. His kingdom of righteousness. Christ gave everything for you, including his life. Are you willing, out of love for him, to give him everything, including your life? For to me to live is Christ. Now, if you look at quote number 10, we're told in Romans 13, verses 11 to 14, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. In other words, let it be crucified. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And again, Matthew 24:44. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Dear ones, may we get ourselves ready and then remain ready until the coming of our Lord and Savior. This is my prayer. Our closing song is, Are You Ready for Jesus to Come? The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save men. The plan of salvation assures us he's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Don't cling to the world and its treasure. This earth will soon pass away. Oh, give him your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Amen. All things are possible to those who believe and who follow Christ Jesus. So don't let the devil say you can never get ready. Don't let the devil convince you that just because you have recently accepted Christ, there's no way you can get ready because time is too short. Walk with Jesus. Every day, he'll lead you all the way. You don't have to worry, but pray. And Jesus makes it possible. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for developing this great plan of salvation. And thank you, dear Savior, for carrying it out and making it possible, for ratifying this plan. And thank you, dear Spirit, for working in our hearts that we might comply with this plan and indeed be saved. Father, I pray that the darkness of this world will be dispelled by the glory of our Savior. Let Jesus be uplifted, exalted, and be found to be the only one truly worthy of love, worship, and adoration. Help more and more people to follow the Lamb that taketh away their sins wherever he leads them. And dear Spirit, help us to recognize the voice of our Savior when there's so many voices out there. Thank you, Savior, for being the only way, the only truth, and the only life to salvation. There's no other name given among mankind whereby we can be saved but the Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Pope can't save us. The Church can't save us. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus provides the way to salvation. Thank you, Savior, for giving your life that we might have your life. Help us to want your life, to desire your life with an earnestness that will not be denied. Just like with Jacob and the angel, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Help that to be our desire, to be blessed by our Savior and be prepared to meet him when he comes to take us home. Thank you for making this possible. Help us to comply with this reality is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme of the Bible is Jesus. He is the very center of that inspired Word of God. May we allow him to be the center of our lives. And then we'll be ready when he comes. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, questions, comments, insights, anything that you'd like to share? Testimonies as well, or songs or requests to sing? Please go right ahead.
Well, I do have a thought, dear brother, and it's because of things that I have read in Spirit of Prophecy and also in Scripture Revelation, and we're talking about this subject right here about being ready. Okay, I understand that, and by God's amazing grace, I pray I'll be ready. However, I do see very different times throughout both sources that there is going to be a multitude coming out from all of these pagan, Babylonian, false teachings in a short amount of time. So, how do they get ready? I mean, I know that may be a weird question or something like that, but I just kind of wonder, I'm like, well, they're going to be coming out of it like coming out of a fire, so to speak. How are they going to get ready? And I had this one verse that comes to my mind, that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. But I don't know if that applies to that or is this something different. So I just kind of wonder about, because that's a lot of people from what the Word of God and Spirit of Prophecy is saying is going to be coming out. So I kind of wonder how are they going to be ready?
Yeah, I understand, dear brother. And some are going to have to step fast. They're going to have to like run, and others have already started in the past. So their pathway is not so much running. It's more a steady pace upward. And how I've envisioned individuals that come out of paganism, out of the world and into the truth is it would take them a really long time to start from Genesis to Revelation and come up with all the truths that they've been recently exposed to. But with the truth already in place, they can see its beauty. They can check it out in the scriptures and see that it's there. And now they're that much more advanced than they would have been if they would have had to search the scriptures for themselves to come up with that belief. For instance, the state of the dead. The world believes when you die, you go to heaven. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're a pagan or whether you're an atheist. That's a common belief. You see it across billboards. You read it in the papers. You see it on TV. When people die, they believe they go to heaven. Oh, my mother's looking down upon me, right? But when you look in the scriptures, you find that that's not the case at all. When we die, we rest in the grave until we're judged worthy of life or worthy of death. And then after Christ comes, that sentence is delivered. After the 1,000 years. So those particular truths have already been gleaned from the scriptures. And when someone recently comes into the faith, they have all this information ready for them to devour. And once they see it brought out in God's word, they accept it. So now they've raced forward in accepting that doctrine that would have taken them perhaps years to glean for themselves without this prepared doctrinal truth. So for them to step fast, for them to run forward and catch up, has already been prepared for them to do so. The seven pillars of the faith, they've already been found in the scriptures. They've already been brought forward. All the verses are there. The proof texts are there. So when they come across that information and they want to follow God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they accept everything from God's word. So now, instead of having to come up with the seven pillars themselves, it's already prepared for them to accept, and they see it's in the scriptures. So they've really jumped forward in the race. It's still step by step, right? But now they've advanced so quickly in a short time, whereas those that have been in the faith for a long time and took them a while to come up with these truths, they don't have to take that long period of time to come to those truths. It's prepared for them. And when they check it out with God's word and they see it's there, they accept God's word. And now they're so far advanced from where many of us have had to toil through to learn, right? Well, the Spirit is right there to be their guide. And they're so willing to be guided that there's very little hindrance to them accepting the faith. It's like with Paul. Paul was entrenched in Pharisaism. And in a very short time, he's now advocating the truth. So he stepped fast, right? And the Spirit illuminated his mind to see these truths that even were difficult for some of the disciples to accept because they had been entrenched in Judaism. You know, everything has to come through Judaism. Those that are not a Jew cannot be saved. All of that false interpretation had to be weeded out of their understanding in order for them to accept the truth. So even they had to step into the truth. And God used Paul to help them in that step. So that's how I envision is Bible studies is a great way to do that. You have the major tenets of the scriptures brought out in 30 lessons or so. And depending on how fast they want to learn depends on how fast they go through those lessons. And those that are really dedicated to God will want to devour the truth because it comes from the Redeemer that they love. So I hope that gives you a little insight into how they can step fast depending on others.
Yes, thank you, dear brother.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, and we want to get the Spirit, the right Spirit, because there's many spirits that have gone out there, but we want the one that agrees with God. It knows the mind of God, and thus it's the Spirit of truth. Any other thoughts or comments, Jeremy?
Elder Rock, can you, by God's grace, expound upon one of the things that you mentioned in the study? One about the European countries kind of like sharing the currency. I don't know much about that, but I was listening to when you said that they are even referring to themselves as the United States of Europe. But I don't really know the significance of what that means. So would you be able to expound upon that a bit?
Yeah. The currency is called euro. You've heard of the euros. That is the common European currency that basically takes away any kind of barrier between nations there in Europe. The nations that agreed for this common currency is Austria, Belgium, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Portugal, and Spain. And England initially went for a common currency, and then they decided to back away from it and to keep their British pounds and guineas and whatever other terms they have for their money. So you have these 11 nations, and even in England, the euros can be accepted as common currency in purchasing things. And so then that means since they have a common currency, then the next step is to have a common government and then a common religion and then a common educational system. Yeah, it was Brexited, Britain exiting the common currency. And so you can see with England backing out, which is a major power there in Europe, it kind of side railed the euro for a while. And I think that was out of the mercy of God, because people were not ready for a United States of Europe. They weren't ready for the coming of our Savior. And so God has given us, what, 20 years now since this happened? 1998. So yeah, 25 years since this common currency has come in. And so you can see that it's like a new world order, but on a European scale instead of a world scale. And so far, 25 years, it's a functioning system. But it shows how close we are to the end, because if an entire continent, almost continent, if the majority of nations in a continent can put aside their differences, put aside their nationality, and agree on a common currency and put it into place, actually functioning, then why can't the world do that? So you can see that it was a plan put into operation that has proved a success. But not everyone went for it. And so then that's where you need force. And so now here's a potential one world government to force every nation to comply. You already have a one world court system set up in, was it Brussels? I think so. Or The Hague, wherever, Belgium, thank you. That, is designed to handle bigger issues, and you can see it can come down to individual issues on those who will not go along with the world view. So you can see the signs of the times are here. You can see that things are speeding up. You can see that intensity is happening. And we need to be just as intense and earnest in making sure our calling and election, making sure that our salvation is in Christ Jesus and self is crucified. So, I haven't traveled to Europe myself. I've seen some of the European currency. And on one of the paper bills, they actually have a woman riding on a beast. Like you see depicted of Babylon in the scriptures. Quite amazing.
Elder Rob, it's amazing when you take these things and we've been learning to be diligent in the small things. It's amazing, like, people would think maybe us believers as crazy because we look into these small things, right? They say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't, it's, to us, it's great, and it tells us of the time that we're in, but to them, it's kind of like you're looking at it too much. You're looking to it too deep, you know. But it's these small things that build upon each other that if you're not aware of, that will cause even for believers to be deceived because the signs of the times as we're learning, it's happening all around us, and it's kind of like people are just going about their day, about their time, just going, and it's amazing how two people could be experiencing the same thing but not having the same experience, right? One is going on about their day just, and one is like, oh my gosh, this is happening, what's next, you know, type thing, and the other person is looking. It's amazing when you look at it like that, you could see how it's kind of, that's scary in a bad way, but scary in a like, oh my goodness, this is happening, you know?
Yeah, amen. Only those that are awake are going to be able to see the signs. Those that are asleep, of course, they're sleeping, they're not going to be able to see anything. And that's why Christ says, watch and pray. In other words, we have to be awake in order to watch. So we need to watch and pray so these things do not catch us off guard and we be lost. Yeah, that's true. Comment says, lessons not learned is lessons repeated. That's right. That's right. Those who will not learn from history are doomed to repeat the same events, and thus history repeats. So God has preserved his word that brings out lessons that have happened in history so that we might learn and not repeat the same mistakes. Did you know that there is already plans to divide the earth into 10 different sections? So instead of 7 continents, there's going to be 10 different sections of earth. Each of these sections will have its own main leader. You can find it on the internet. You can find exactly where these 10 divisions of Earth is going to be. And that lines up with prophecy there in Revelation. These 10 kings will give their power unto the beast and reign for 1 hour. Now obviously, an hour is a short time in a day, right? So it's not talking about any specific time, is just talking about they rule for a short time. So all the world is going to wonder after the beast. All the world is going to be forced to receive its mark or worship its image, or they're going to be targeted for removal out of the earth. If you'd like to know more about this, you can go to our website in the book section, and the book you want to click on is To Be God of One World. That will give you a little more insight into what is being prepared or what's already here. Any other thoughts or questions or comments, dear ones? Insights? Amen. History is repeating. Please feel free. Well, thank you, dear ones, for your participation, for your fellowship, for your brother and sisterhood with us. Thank you for being part of our service today, and including those listening to the recording. Pray that God will continue to lead and guide you upward, that you will get yourself ready more and more each day, and that Jesus will become more of a beloved leader in your life and in your family. Praise God for being with us throughout this past year. And dear ones, when we meet again, it will be next year. So until then, dear ones, go with God, grow in grace, and keep looking.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.